You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 181 of Well Met, Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Monday, January 14th, 2019. I'm here in Kansas City where it's colder than a banker's heart on foreclosure day at the orphan's home. I'm your host, J.R. Cook. I'm here with the rest of the normal Well Met crew this week as well. Coming from the Grand Land over in New Hampshire, where Tom Brady feels the balls and they are perfect. We have our resident Panda Global Pro Hearthstone player, Ray C. How's it going, Ray?
It's going fantastic. It sounds like you might be a little bit salty there.
I'm not salty. I mean,
Chiefs he's going to be salty next week when we beat him.
Yeah, you know, I might be salty next week. Or I might be excited next week. We'll have to see.
I have no... What is it called when you don't care? I have no...
It's called you don't care.
No, it's like I have no horse in this race or something.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's some type of thing that people say sometimes.
Yeah. So. So also coming over from New Hampshire, where the state amphibian is the red spotted newt. I looked that up.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
the state flower now.
Yeah, no, I'm teaching our listeners facts. We have our wild expert from Team One Trick, Danny Donuts.
Yeah, that's a new fact for me too. I did not know it was the newt, the red spotted newt.
What's a newt?
It's the state amphibian of New Hampshire. The red spotted newt.
What's an amphibian?
Is it like a newt? Amphibian's like a water animal,
yes.
But it doesn't like mean if it's not necessarily a fish.
It's like a frog.
So it could be like a platypus.
No, it's not a platypus. Otherwise your state amphibian would be the platypus.
Is a platypus technically an amphibian?
No, I'm asking, is an amphibian a platypus, or is a platypus an amphibian?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
You know, I'm not a biologist, so I don't know.
I'm going to have to figure out what a newt is. I've never seen one, unless I have, but I don't think I've seen a newt in New Hampshire.
Funny story.
I don't think I've seen the New Hampshire newt.
Yeah, funny story about the platypus. Like, when I was a kid, I was drawing a platypus or something like that, and was telling my mom about it because it was like an animal that I was going to be talking about like during a school project or something, and she would not believe me that a platypus was a real animal.
Really?
She thought I was making it up. Yeah, she thought I was making it up, and I'm like, what?
Picture this, JR. A horse with a horn is a mystical creature, but a zebra with a giant neck is real.
It's true.
Yeah. And then you just go and swap a duck and a beaver and you get a platypus.
Pretty much.
like giraffes are real, but like a unicorn seems way less far-fetched than like what a giraffe is.
Yeah, mainly because there's other horse-like creatures out there that have horns. So.
Wait, is there?
I mean...
Like a bull.
Like elk and... I mean, they're not horse.
Oh, yeah.
They're horse-like. You know.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
You know,
one of my friends, speaking of elk, thought that like reindeer and elk were mystical creatures for the longest time because of like Christmas time stuff. And they're like, oh, reindeer aren't real. And I'm like, no, reindeer are an actual animal.
I mean,
all right, let's talk
about that Hearthstone part of the podcast.
Yeah, let's talk about Hearthstone, guys. Let's okay. not
this
hit
is not
the
natural,
this week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
I hit the wrong button.
So I was waiting for the transition. And I was like, wait, yeah. Should we start talking about Hearthstone? Oh man.
So the news in Hearthstone this week. We'll hop into that because I feel like we could talk about our weeks, but I feel like we're going to be talking about our weeks in our upcoming weeks a lot in this show, so we don't need to repeat ourselves, right? So we'll hop into the news first. So the big news, quote unquote, of this week was Hearthstone released a patch to balance Arena and make Rumble run easier. So they released a patch. When was that? It was like, I want to say it was last Thursday, where they're doing some balancing changes with Arena. And the big thing for me, since I don't play Arena, was they decided to make Rumble run a little bit easier. Since you guys, not you guys, but like our listeners seem to call me like the solo adventure expert on the show, even though I think that's far from the truth, but I guess I'm...
Wait, you play more than both of us combined.
I play more than both of you, so I guess I would be by default. I actually hadn't been able to beat Rumble Run yet, because one, I really, really hate that mode. Like, I did not enjoy it at all. It just, to me, it felt kind of lazy. It felt like I was making an arena deck playing against constructed decks. So I decided to, you know, after this, making it easier, I decided to finally play. I finally did beat it once, but I'm not sure if I would call it easier still. It still feels the same thing. It still feels really janky. So the changes that they did was they made it so that you can replay. If you lose a Rumble Run, you can replay with the shrine that you had, which is kind of nice. That's it. That's what I ended up doing, is I found one that I really liked and continued to play that over and over and over until I finally beat it. And then the other thing is they made the pools that you get try to match more with the shrine that you have, which was helpful as well. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have beaten this. But at the same time, it is by far still the worst solo adventure mode in the game that they've ever created, in my opinion. So
I wonder if people how many people actually play it. I would love to see. I would just like to see how many people play the Rumble Run compared to other modes.
I don't know. Dungeon Run was perfect. I still enjoy Dungeon Run. Monster Hunt was meh. I enjoyed the puzzles that they came out with the Dr. Boom expansion, but there's no replayability with that.
Right.
The Rumble Run.
There's replayability with this one either. This one was, for me, I played it once, got the card back, and then I was done.
Yeah, once I finally got the card back, it's like, I'm never touching this again.
Yeah, but I have friends from college who, they started playing back when we were in college, because I, introduced them to Hearthstone, and they don't buy any of the content. They just play the solo adventures now.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, they don't like playing Constructed and everything, because they're like, why would I spend money on this game? And they go through and they play all the Rumble Runs and all this stuff, because all the crazy stuff happens. They get to do wacky, ridiculous things, and it fills their 20-minute period where they want to play a quick video game.
I can see that.
I can't.
Yeah.
I can't see it.
I play Hearthstone for a completely different reason. Everyone plays for their own sake.
Nah, if I'm going to play a casual game... Well, if I'm going to play a game casually... I'm gonna boot up that Super Smash Brothers Ultimate, you know.
Yeah.
Right, but Ray, if you were a Super Smash Brothers pro player, or someone who wanted to become a pro player and play it competitively, you would probably be saying, "Well, I don't play Super Smash Brothers casually. I play it competitively in my casual game. If I want to play something casual, I'm gonna load up Hearthstone and play Rumble Run."
But yeah. Still, with Ultimate, there's a level of compatibility too. Like, I bet you don't play with items on, right?
Oh, no. No, what do you think I am?
Yeah, right? Like, there's a level of competitiveness inherent to certain games. And some people like it, and then some people like the items on.
Oh, I play
all
with
the ridiculous moments.
I totally play with items on.
Oh, okay. I play a different... it's like a different game, I guess, than... It's like, I play it casually, but I play it in a competitive setting, I guess, if that's what you want to look at it.
A competitive casual thing. It's like the middle ground. It's like the wild format before this month.
All right. So the way that I play Super Smash Brothers is I play it with a friend, and we play against AI bots, and we play it with the items on because it's hilarious. And we laugh and play that way. So I play very casually. I don't play competitive. At all.
So what you're saying is I need to have friends to be a casual.
Yes, probably.
That's probably why I'm so competitive. I understand now. Thank you for enlightening me, JR.
Oh boy. But so the arena updates. I don't really play a lot of arena, so I don't know if any of this makes too much sense to me on what was needed and what wasn't. But they said that they adjusted the appearance rate of each individual card available in arena to ensure the overall win rate of each class remains as close as possible to our ideal of 50%. So they made Hunter, Rogue, and Warrior. The average quality of the arena picks were lowered. Druid, Mage, Paladin, Priest, Shaman, and Warlock had their average quality of their arena picks raised. I don't know what any of that means, but for your arena people, I'm sure that you're either happy or mad.
I know that Warrior was really, really good. And there's a spreadsheet circling around. I don't know where it is, but they have all of the cards adjusted. And I don't know if this is like players figuring this out based off of the Overwolf app or whatever it is, that like arena deck thing, deck tracker.
Yep.
But like they are able to calculate that within like 2 or 3 days just based off of the number of people who play arena. It's really interesting, that world of arena. I know Tachi, who's one of the really, really good arena players, been on the arena leaderboard for a little bit. He writes with Vicious. He writes with Tempo Storm, and he's on top of all of this stuff. There's like this whole like community for that. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I've played through arena a handful of times. And yeah, when I play, I usually use a spreadsheet like that or an app that helps me with the picking and choosing and all of that. Drafting modes just have never been my thing. So arena's never been my thing.
It's actually funny because Blizzard really doesn't like those apps because it kind of makes it like the whole process uninteractive, since you have apps that will literally just tell you what the best pick is.
Yep.
But then that goes to the plus one mentality, right? Where it's like, oh, the app says that this card is better, but I think that this card is going to synergize a little bit better than it's expected and stuff like that. And that's what really makes the really good arena players. It's kind of like in Standard with the with HS Replay, right? Where the statistically you can tell what the best deck is, but you can counter that by being an expert.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think it's more accurate for like in a vacuum. Like if you're given three cards, there is going to be a clear best that you can just figure out. But yeah, as you build your deck, obviously your curve matters, all that stuff. But I don't know, it's just interesting to me. I wonder if like HS Replay could actually make a program which could just play every single game of Hearthstone optimally, kind of like a chess robot.
That'd be cool. Remember the Pirate Warrior and like mid-range Shaman bots?
Oh, I remember the Shaman bots. Yeah, the Shaman bots were funny. I feel like bots are still a thing, but they've gotten so much better that we just don't know. Like, I feel like there's no way somebody isn't botting, but they might just be so good now that we just would never know.
Yeah, possibly. So a lot of that's usually found through like checking what kind of packets are being sent and stuff like that that you may not know, but they are probably still getting banned. Because Blizzard knows. Blizzard would have that information, more than likely, at least.
I mean, there's definitely technology out there that you could circumvent that. Remember, like, the RuneScape bots? Do you guys ever look into that?
No.
Back in the old day?
I never played RuneScape, so no.
Oh, man, the RuneScape bots were crazy. I used to look at those back in the day.
Why? What did they do? Like, what was the... Was it just...
So, essentially, it would look at your screen, and then based off of certain images, it would have, like, image capture recognition, and then it would, like, mirror your screen and then go in and be able to figure out what's going on. So, if they can do that for, like, a three-dimensional world like RuneScape, it's gotta be possible to do it fairly easily with image recognition. Like, I don't think that I could do it in a short period of time, but I think you could definitely program something to go and essentially go and play Hearthstone for you.
Yeah, easy. Like, especially, you could even do things like have it, like, learn and things like that with AI and machine learning.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
I'm sure that's already out there.
That's some Skynet stuff, though.
I mean, not really. Like, AI and machine learning is, like, pretty mainstream. It's not just set up to just a handful of companies doing it anymore, because now you've got companies like Microsoft and Google and other places that are that have this like just working in their cloud.
Yeah, you know, I deal with that a little bit.
Just use the APIs and do a handful of stuff there, and it's really simple.
You say simple, but all I hear is just words that my brain...
C-Ray.
No.
C-Ray.
They were nerding out now.
You play your card game and talk over my head, and I'll talk about machine learning and AI. Except that's not what this
is. To
play your card game.
I'll still beat your stupid robot.
You say that. You say that.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's I remember back in the day, there were wild pirate warrior bots, and you knew that they were pirate warrior bots because they played Dr. Boom, because it was easier to play than some of the other cards, like Grom, because it couldn't like calculate the revenge, like the whirlwind effects. So I remember that you knew you were queuing into a pirate warrior when you were like playing against Dr. Boom, but because it's an aggro deck, like if they got the nuts on the start and they won, like you couldn't do anything about it, and it feels bad to lose to a bot.
I mean, it does, but maybe we're all losing to bots all the time because maybe. We're all just robots in a big simulation.
Oh my god.
JR's like, oh boy.
What'd you have to eat right before the show, Ray?
I haven't eaten in like a minute. I probably should do that after this. Probably should eat, but I got to do something else first afterwards, I'd imagine. The post-podcast poo.
As is tradition.
All right. So the next thing we wanted to talk about this week was the EU playoffs happened. And I don't have the results in front of me. I figured one of you can talk about it.
I have the results in my brain, but Danny should talk about his wild tournament that happened that we both casted before we get into the EU playoffs, because I want to transition the EU playoffs to this weekend.
You're killing me. You guys had this in order here. I'm going by the order you had written down. All right. Yep. So, Danny, you had your one trick wild tournament going on.
Yeah, the wild tournament. It was actually really sweet. Ray and I casted a couple games on Saturday. And so Trips ended up beating Mooing Sheep. But there was a lot of really interesting decks brought and lineups. And this is like one of the only tournaments we've seen in the past like 3 or 4 months for wild. So I think this is like the precursor to what we're going to see coming up for the wild open at the end of the month. A little bit of a different format. This is the normal conquest, and Blizzard screwed us over again with the best of three format for the Wild Open. So we have a little bit more of a high roll thing. Lineups are less consistent, etc.
Yeah. So what do you think will happen now? Like for the people who are trying to play Wild, trying to go for top 100, do you think that the tournament kind of showcased what's going to happen in the tournament for top 100? Like, what do you think the best lineups will be, or do you think that the format is just so different because it's one less deck that it won't matter? Like, it won't.
I think that it brought some more options. I mean, especially from my perspective, I think it brought more options to my mind. There were a couple decks that did fairly well that I didn't think were going to be on the radar. But I mean, I don't think that this is going to affect ladder that much, because some of these decks like Jade Druid and Reno Mage that did fairly well in the tournament just don't do well in the meta in general, but they're good when you can start targeting decks. So, but I do think that this really opens lineups up, because people brought some fairly interesting decks. I actually have the spreadsheet here with what was brought as a whole, and it's fairly interesting. Odd Warrior was the most represented deck in the format, with a close second being Even Shaman, most represented class being Priest. But there was a lot of diversity in Warlock as well. Reno Lock, Even Lock, and Cube Lock all being within the top 8 or so decks.
Yeah. So,
and, go
sorry,
ahead.
Continue.
Oh, no, I was going to go into detail. You go ahead first.
I was just going to say, what do you think surprised you the most from the tournament? Like, what deck or what lineup surprised you the most? And if there wasn't any, why do you think that is?
I think that some of the lineups that brought two Reno decks or three Reno decks were surprising. I kind of discredited Reno Mage for a bit because it hasn't gotten much, but being able to build it anti-aggro was pretty good. I was surprised that not that many people brought aggro decks. There was like two aggro lineups out of the whole field, one of them being Odd Dragon and another one, I think it was Jam who brought something. But like the aggro was very underrepresented, and a lot of people went control or anti-control.
Okay. Yeah. And do you think that now Reno Mage is going to make a splash on ladder, or like you said, you don't think?
I mean, you'll probably see, well, these deck lists are all public now, so you're going to people who are going to net deck are going to play the deck, and then they're going to realize why it's not good on ladder. I mean, we've play tested this for a while. Like Reno Mage is just good against like specific control decks when you can counter them. But I don't think that the field that you're going to see on ladder is going to be good for Reno Mage in general. Especially Jade Druid. Jade Druid's really weak to a lot of the aggro decks, but it's more of an anti-control deck at this point. But mostly because no one was playing Skulking Geist. Most Reno decks had cut Skulking Geist, which they had been in the meta for the longest time. But with the nerf to Druid, no one really expected Druid to be brought. So the people who did bring Jade Druid did really well because no one was running the hate cards against them.
That's true. Yeah, one thing that surprised me the most about casting the Wild tournament was just how much the matchups were like polarized, or the lineups, I guess. Like if there was a control warrior lineup versus something that wasn't just full aggro that just lost immediately, it feels like the matches just go on for a long time, but it's more of a macro game plan as opposed to like a micro game plan, which is what standard mainly is right now. Like matchup knowledge actually means so much more in Wild than it does in standard. That's, or at least that's what it seemed like to me. Like you had to know, like, okay, this is a a control warrior versus a Reno deck. I need to get rid of my Twisting Nethers a Reno deck, so that way they can't Azalina it at some point, because that's going to be really crucial later on in the game. Just like really macro ideas about matchups that you need to know going into it, as opposed to just like navigating your way through each turn on a technical level optimally.
Yeah, well, I definitely agree with that. I feel that not so much for aggro decks. I feel that aggro decks, if you're essentially putting your opponent on the clock, and they either have the tools or they don't. But as soon as you get into a control lineup, like knowledge of the Wild format is just going to help you out so much, because you've run into the situations over and over again. One of the things that's actually really interesting, the infinite combo in Reno decks was like publicized. This has been around for maybe about, it's been around for about a month, but it's only been like in the meta for 2 weeks or so, where you go and you play Bran, then you play Baleful Banker, and then you Zola your Baleful Banker, and then you Banker your Zola. And then from that point on, you're able to infinitely put cards into your deck, which absolutely shuts out Control Warrior. So that shifts the matchup, which was like Odd Warrior was believed like maybe about 2 or 3 months ago to be extremely strong against Reno decks. And like if you're looking at like Reno Lock, for example, the matchup used to be you tap as much as possible until you get Azalina, or not Azalina, until you get Rin, then you play your seals, and you're just praying that your opponent doesn't draw Azalina throughout the match. But now with this infinite combo, you don't have to worry about that, because you can just pressure your opponent down a little bit, and then you can go with your infinite combo and just infinitely play threats, and eventually your Odd Warrior opponent won't be able to put on enough pressure and you win.
You killed them with your infinite threats of Baleful Banker's Bran and Zola.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of times where it came down to that in the matchups, and there were certain players who knew about this, and there were certain players who didn't. And like the players who didn't really know how to execute it properly or didn't line things up properly were punished in the matchups. It was really interesting to watch.
Yeah, I definitely saw that. A lot of it was just not doing the combos early enough. Like as soon as you get it, you should go, or as soon as you get it where you like can do it, like where you're not under a bunch of pressure, like afraid of getting lethal, like you should just play down the Bran, the Banker, and the Zola, and just get them into your deck because your opponent can Azalina them. I think we casted a game where the Control Warrior player was able to Azalina the full combo because the Reno player just never played it for some reason. Mm-hmm. They just held onto it for so long, and yeah. It allowed
one of the things that does happen. one of the things that does happen is you end up putting doubles into your deck with that. So you're putting two copies of Pran and two copies of, is it Banker or Zolo? You're putting two copies of whatever into your deck. So your Reno gets turned off. So that's one of the things that you do have to manage throughout that matchup as well. But against Odd Warrior, it's not super prevalent, but the Odd Warriors can realize this and take like a plus one line of, okay, he went infinite combo. Now I'm just going to go and smork him out.
Yeah, I think that would be really hard to do. Like in the game that we casted, I remember it was mainly just like a huge error to not do it.
Yes,
as opposed to just like not like having your Reno turned on or off. It was that seemed irrelevant. Like the mage player was just at such a high life total that didn't even matter, aside from a potential Nazoth play, but that never happened for some reason. The warrior player also just didn't ever play down Nazoth. It was really weird.
It was a little strange, but
that might just be lack of matchup knowledge, but yeah, it's super interesting and it was a lot of fun to see. And I feel like the wild format has so much depth to it that standard is really lacking right now.
So were you surprised by anything, Ray, besides this whole infinite combo? Was there anything that stood out to you?
Not really, just mainly the plays and like the way you play certain matchups, which was really cool to learn and just see executed and stuff like that. I thought that was really refreshing. And outside of that, not really. Like all the decks, there was no like decks that I didn't expect to see. Like even Reno Mage for me is like not something that is surprising, since when I played Reno last, outside of this month, Reno Mage was actually the best Reno deck. So I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So,
but
were you watching any of the Reno Priest games with like the Spawn of Shadows OTK?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of that. That's always cool, but it's not surprising to me. Like that's something that I already knew existed. There isn't anything like no wacky like OTK things that nobody had ever seen before or something like that.
Sure.
It all seemed pretty standard for wild.
So I'm looking at the spreadsheet, Danny, and so was there a winner for this, or did you guys just play like one round?
No. So the format was a 5-round Swiss and then top 8 the next day. So Trips ended up winning with Freeze Mage, Q Block, Big Priest, and Odd Rogue. He ended up beating, who did he beat? He beat Mooing Sheep, who brought, I know we brought Murloc, Anything Paladin. Where's Mooing Sheep?
Number 7.
Yeah, so we brought farm. Yeah, Odd Warrior, Even Shaman, and Spell Hunter. So Barn Yashiraj, I think.
I see. Cool. I was just looking at these stats, and I thought it was kind of cool that it looked like Q Block had done like really well. Everybody that brought Q Block did fairly well, and Jade Druid, like you said earlier, did phenomenal.
Yeah, so it seems like a lot of the anti-control lineups did well, just because a lot of people brought control. And no one really brought aggro. So I think that Q Block and Jade Druid fall into that anti-control lineup spot very well. I think, what is it? Evenlock even falls into that as well. But Evenlock didn't really perform well this weekend, which that surprised me. I thought Evenlock was going to be good. I think you can maybe compare Evenlock more to like an aggro deck, like an aggro aggressive type thing. I don't know. I don't really know how to categorize Evenlock at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, even in standard, people are like, no, Evenlock is not a control deck or a mid-range deck. Evenlock's an aggro deck because you just play Mountain Giant for 3 mana and you just hit him in the face for 8. And that kills him faster than half the other aggro decks in the format.
I was happy to see one person brought Mech Hunter and got top 8. So.
Yeah, Odd Dragon with the quad aggro bringing... Well, I mean, Inner Fire Priest you technically consider aggro, even though it's a combo deck.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah, so he was top 8, but he didn't make the finals, apparently.
No, I think...
he got destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we watched one of his matches where he lost, and I don't know. It seems like... if the Reno decks and stuff just draw well, like you just lose.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they just have the answers, like you just get wrecked.
Yeah. It was really funny with Odd Dragon and these because a lot of the other matchups, they're control versus anti-control and they're going on and on. Odd Dragon finished his games within like 10-15 minutes every single time. So like when we were choosing who to cast for games, I think in one round we're like, all right, we're gonna start with Audragon, and his match is gonna be done before everyone else has finished their third game. So we would be able to go on and get other matchups, because like he would go through, and essentially with those decks, if you win or you lose by turn six.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, all his games are just so quick. So quick. It was great. I enjoyed watching it, even though the Mech Hunter, when it runs out of steam, it reminds me of a Magic Carp. It just kind of flops and splashes everywhere, and eventually they die.
Although even in those matchups, there's some matchup knowledge that you need to know. Like you need to know that you need to trade into the Reno after your opponent plays it. Like there was one time where he got completely punished because he left the Reno up on board to try to push more damage and set up like another lethal for the next turn, and his opponent top decked Zola so he could play the Reno again.
Yeah, I think we cast it. No,
we casted that one.
That was really cool. Yeah, it was like a situation where he went really tall on like a piloted shredder with a war. I think it's war gear.
Yeah.
5/5 magnetic guy. So he just had a giant board of just tall minions. He just had like two minions that were just really big. So he could try to set up another lethal. And instead of trading into the Reno and losing like 6 damage, he decided to go face, which normally would make sense. And it was probably honestly the right play.
Mm-hmm.
But his opponent just top decked Zola.
Yeah, I called that too. I was like, hey, you know what happens? The only out he has is Zola, right?
Yeah.
And then immediately the top deck happens.
Zola's nuts with like Reno and Kazakus. It's actually insane. It's like I'll talk about this a little bit more later. It's like a odd mage when you Zola via Ragnaros.
Yeah.
Do you Zola the Ragnaros in that matchup? Or do you?
No. Well, you Zola the Janowai.
Yeah, you get the 4/4.
Yeah, you get the 4/4 body. But same idea. That card's basically just Ragnaros.
Yeah.
But
it just adds so much utility to the deck, too, because a lot of the times, obviously, if you're in a control matchup, you can wait to play your combo. But there are a couple combos that use that. Like, there's the Gnome Feratu combo, where you brand Gnome Feratu, Zola the Gnome Feratu, and then you play Gnome Feratu again. You burn 4 cards from your opponent's deck. And like that's a line that you can take. You can go the infinite strategy with it, or against like an aggro deck, you can use it to copy cards and emergencies. Like if you have a Tar Creeper on board, you can copy it, get an early taunt coming out, or a Reno heal bot. It's just a really good utility card.
Yeah, Zola. I actually, when that card first came out, I did not think it would be that good, but it's pretty nuts.
Yeah. So moving on. I wanted to talk real quick about the HCT. We just had the Europe HCT happen this weekend. And I wanted to complain about one quick thing on this. Is I told you guys earlier, hey, I don't have the results in front of me. And so I decided to start looking them up. And I go to the Hearthstone Esports website. There's nothing. There's nothing on there.
There's really? Nothing.
Like, I can watch them. They have the VODs. I can watch them. Maybe I need to click. Like, I don't see anything about like who won. Oh wait, maybe the brackets are here. Okay, if I dig down into no.
I mean, this has become par for the course, though, right?
I know.
You guys see the tweet from one? I don't remember which developer. It might have been this week or earlier the week before, but like the HTC points, like the ladder points, the standings, they were manually put in. They didn't have something in their system to go and count everything. They had to go through and like actually manually calculate all that stuff.
That doesn't surprise me.
I mean,
it disappoints
me a little bit, because like you're kind of paying somebody to do that job when it's something that could probably easily be automated. I don't know. That is weird. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Shoot mentioned that to me. I think that it's it's ridiculous that happened.
Yeah, like I'm just like, anyway. No, I'm just trying to find like the brackets and all this stuff. And if I dig down a little bit and I hit show scores, it looks like that shows me. But still, like I have to read brackets and then go the next stage and do a bunch of stuff like that. It's not like a list or anything that just shows me. So it's kind of annoying.
Yeah, it's definitely not
an article out at least, right? Hey, here's what happened in the EU playoffs. Like, Wouldn't you expect that? Someone to write an article?
Like, their last article was, like, January 2nd. So, like, two weeks ago. Yeah.
I mean, maybe they just do everything on the Hearthstone Esports Twitter, which is just, like, such a fraction of the actual audience. And I, even, like, follower-wise, there's, like, no followers on it. It has, like, 30,000 followers compared to Hearthstone's almost a million.
Yeah, I mean, BlizzPro has more followers than that.
Oh, wow. Okay. Humble brag, JR.
No, it just to put it in perspective, like, BlizzPro's not that big, guys.
But, I mean, yeah, even the Hearthstone Esports Twitter didn't actually, like, they tweeted about the playoffs, but they didn't tweet an article or anything. It was more just that page of when they do the broadcast, like, how they show, like, the book. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like their infographic thing.
Like their infographic thing. They just showed the page of the book, which is like Los Angeles bound 2019 Hearthstone Europe Winter Playoffs. And then it shows who is qualified, who's Los Angeles bound for the championships, which is Viper, Faelie, Thunder Up, and Bunny Hopper. And this is actually really cool. Bunny Hopper and Viper are already qualified for Worlds, I think. Bunny Hopper definitely is. Viper might not be, but they both qualified for the last championships. So,
do you lock someone out if you qualify twice?
No. It gets passed down to whoever is in the next spot, which, since there's no actual way to determine who's like 5th, 6th, 7th, or 8th, I imagine they would do what they did before, because this happened once last year. Or not last year. The first time that there was a playoffs, this happened. And they had a like mini tournament. They had like a 4-person tournament of the next, like the four people who were like 5th through 8th.
Oh, that's cool.
And then the winner of that got the spot. So yeah, it's actually pretty funny. It happened because Fibonacci couldn't, I don't know if he couldn't get his passport or something, but basically Fibonacci qualified and then he couldn't go. So they had to pass down the invite. And that's how they did it. And then Nostam ended up winning in the spot. But yeah, so Thunder Up, Bunny Hopper, Viper, and Faelie.
So did you guys watch any of it?
I watched pretty much all of it.
A bit here and there, not much.
Was there anything that surprised you?
Viper's lineup was definitely the most surprising lineup that did well. He played what is now dubbed as Peanut Shaman. I don't have any idea why that name is Peanut Shaman. Maybe the joke is that it's the nuts. Get it? Because I have no idea why they call it Peanut Shaman, but it's Control Shaman. It basically looks like Shudderwalk Shaman, but without the combo, and plus some more like control-y cards like Zentimo plus Tidal Surge, that kind of stuff, which is actually a really cool combination.
What's the win condition for the deck? Just wear your opponent out, or
you play Hagatha, so that gets you a bunch of spells. You play Shudderwalk still, which will trigger like Stonehills and stuff again. So
just a value deck then. Okay.
I think it plays Elise, so it's just like you're gonna put another pack in your deck when you play Shudderwalk. So it's just random threats that you get off of stuff like that, which is the win condition.
I think what's interesting about this deck is that there's legendaries from all 6 expansions in it.
Yeah, it's actually crazy. And even his warrior deck was wacky too.
And there's only 4 cards in it that are from the basic classic set. You don't see that very often.
Yeah, you don't see that too often nowadays. His warrior deck was, he played cubes, but he also played what was it? Oh man.
He played Big Spell Mage, and I'm just going by names that I see on a website here, so I don't know if this is the actual names of the decks. He played like a Big Spell Mage, he played a Control Priest, he played that Shudderwalk Shaman, quote unquote, and Odd Warrior.
Yeah, so Bitcoin Mage definitely making a comeback in tournaments. It's still bad on ladder, 100% would not play that on ladder, but in tournaments, in a very specific setting, it is good.
This is even Big Spell Mage, though, is it? Yeah, it sort of is, I guess.
It definitely. Yeah, it is. I would consider that Big Spell Mage for sure.
Now that I'm playing big spells.
But his warrior deck played card. He played cube, but it also played a card called Tomb Lurker, which is
I don't even know what that card does.
It's the 5/3 battle cry, add a random death rattle minion that died this game to your hand.
Yeah, so it pretty much adds Carnivorous Cube into your hand.
Yep.
Or Direhorn Hatchling, which is really good value. It's not a card I think we've ever seen in any deck before. So that's actually, actually really innovative.
I mean, I've played with this card before.
JR's like, excuse me.
But I don't think you've seen it competitively played.
True, true. Yeah, his lineup is pretty much full control. He was the only person to really succeed with control lineup because he found a fourth control deck that was optimal and could actually do the job of all the other control decks. So most people had Control Warrior, they had the Control Priest, and they had either OTK Paladin, pretty much just like OTK Paladin, I'd imagine, is like the fourth control deck or the third control deck. And it was really hard to find for a lot of people to kind of find a fourth good control deck that they wanted to go with. And even then, OTK Paladin is kind of like an aggro deck. Some people opted to go with Big Spell Mage. So you'd have Big Spell Mage, Control Warrior, and then you would have you just have a hard time finding a fourth good control deck, where a lot of people just opted to go with just playing Hunter or playing even Warlock, just something that was just a good deck. Hunter Ace actually went with a lineup that played Control Warrior, and he just played like Hunter. And Viper was really the only one that just was able to play four really good tried and true control decks. So I think that's why he was able to succeed. And he also dodged all the anti-control. There wasn't too much anti-control in the field. There also wasn't that much control. But out of all the control, Viper was the only one who did well, or remotely close to well.
With a control lineup, you're trying to ban Hunter, typically, I'd guess?
It depends what they're playing, what your opponent's playing. Like, if you hit a lineup that's playing, like, Xeric's Cloning Priest or something, you definitely want to ban that. Or if they're playing OTK Paladin, you would rather ban that. So it really depends. There's a lot of lineups that were just kind of half and half, or just lineups that just, like, sprinkled in a deck that was really anti-control just because they thought it was overall good, like the OTK Paladin or the Cloning Gallery Priest. But if there's nothing else, I don't think you want to ban Hunter, or at least not the Beast Hunters. I think a lot of them struggled against decks like Shaman, and Viper definitely didn't ban Hunter because that's probably the matchup that he played the most on stream, honestly. So I think it was really lineup dependent based on which deck he wanted to ban.
Yeah, it seemed like the majority of the Hunter decks that were brought were the Secret Hunter.
Yeah, the Secret Beast Hunter.
Yeah. And
the
then,
hybrid one.
Yeah, so that seemed to be the most popular deck that was brought to the Europe playoffs, with the next most popular being Control Priest and Odd Rogue.
Yeah, 48 Secret Hunters.
Wow.
Yep.
Out of 64 people. I think it's 64. So it's almost 20% of the field brought Secret Hunter. And that's like, there's Death Rattle Hunter in the format. Like, that's how insane
this deck
is.
It's not the only big Hunter deck. Wow.
Yeah, like Hunter as a whole, only 5 people didn't bring Hunter. But yeah, it's crazy how much Hunter there is. And I think we're going to see that this weekend too.
Let's see. Here's 47, 51.
This reminds me of like the warrior days of old and then the druid days of recent past. It's like there's one deck, there's one class that just dominates.
Honestly, I think that this Hunter deck is harder to target than druid was when it was the best deck, because druid, you could play anti-control deck. Like you saw a lot of these people playing the quest lineups. Like people would play quest rogue, quest druid, like just really wacky lineups that just beat druid. Whereas this Hunter deck, it has so many angles that it's attacking you from. It can be aggressive, it can be really strong in the mid game, or you can just play Rexxar and create beasts all day long. And it's really hard to nail down. And I say that, I really wanted to try to just bring a lineup that beat Hunter, but I just couldn't do it. I tested even Odd Paladin, even though Odd Paladin's best matchup is supposedly Hunter. It actually felt closer to 55, like very slightly odd paladin favored, and I played it a lot. I played that. Wow. I ran that matchup like probably close to 50 times.
So there was. Go ahead.
And it was crazy because you would think that that's why you play odd paladin well.
So there was. I thought you were done.
I was gonna say I think the stats are misleading. I think people are just bad at playing the hunter deck.
So there was 80 participants, 80 players, and 76 of them brought hunter.
Wow.
Yep.
So that's a good amount. And 60 brought paladin. And 50 brought priest. So only 15 brought shaman, but one of them was in the final four.
That is true. And another stat from that tournament was that mage was the best performing deck.
Oh,
Bitcoin mage is back. I don't know if you guys paid attention to my Twitter, but I am very hyped on mage again. I already bought lots of stock in mage, and
he didn't
this was
sell
before
it.
The playoffs.
And he didn't sell it.
I did not sell it. I've been holding my stock ever I've been holding ever since the good old days, and
It's coming back.
It's bounced back, and we're going to the moon, boys.
On the moon.
I'm actually really excited about that fact. I think a lot of people are going to consider Big Spell Mage for this tournament, but I did something even more. I don't know if it's next level, if it's stupid, or
you're going to play. And the transition into this, you're talking about the NA playoffs that are coming this coming weekend. You have submitted you're playing in that, and you submitted your deck list, and you're playing Bitcoin Mage with a twist.
Yes, I am playing my own version of Odd Mage. I don't even know how to describe it because it's just like such a unique deck compared to the other versions of Mage that we saw at EU. You'd have to go look at the list on my Twitter or on wherever else it is. I have no idea.
It's on Twitter.
Twitter.
Yeah. Or the spreadsheet that you'll find on Twitter afterwards.
Yeah. It for me, in my experience, I streamed it. I thought it was good. Low-key, I thought it was good. And then I practiced with Bloody Face for a while, and I was like, hey, I have this idea. Will you help me test it? And he was the only one. I actually asked a bunch of people. He was like really the only one who would help me practice the deck. Everybody else just called me stupid and said it was a waste of time. But he practiced with me, and it was doing well in our testing against Hunter, against Paladin, against even Warlock. But everybody else was just like, no, this is just like garbage idea. Like, you're just an idiot. You're going down a bad rabbit hole, which might still be true. I don't know. But either way, I decided to stream it because I was really enjoying just playing the deck on ladder. Been the first time I've really enjoyed ladder since I played the old Bitcoin Mage. And I went like 13-1 or 14-1 or something like to Legend. Like, I hadn't even played yet for the season. And I just went on the biggest win streak I've probably ever gone on to Legend, losing only one game. And it just felt really powerful. And then I was like, man, I should keep trying this idea. So I kept testing it. I tested it more today with a couple more players. I tested it with ETC. Like, people were like taking it a little bit more seriously. And it continued to do well against what I want it to do well against. And it fits the lineup that I created perfectly. Pretty much playing the Bunny Hopper lineup plus Odd Mage. So that means I'm playing even Paladin, even Warlock, the Beast Secret Hunter, and Odd Mage. So the goal of it is to avoid getting targeted by the anti-control lineups that are going to be popping up a lot during NA, which are going to target Priest specifically, because Priest was one of the most popular decks in Europe.
Yep.
And the anti-control lineup plays like Druid, which is the Hakkar Druid or Mekathun Druid. It plays OTK Paladin, stuff like that. And by taking out the Priest, I don't get targeted by that. And then by adding the Odd Mage, I do better in the mirror matches because I want to ban Priest. So I'm going to ban Priest, and then I think that they should be banning my Odd Mage because it beats all of the decks that are in the most popular lineup. And just in general, like, most people are playing.
But then you get your other decks, which are pretty solid.
Yeah.
And then you also have the factor of people probably not believing in the deck too. So people will be like, oh yeah, I don't believe that this deck will do well against it. Maybe you'll get the occasional person to miss ban.
Oh yeah, that's what I was kind of segueing into, is like, they should ban my mage, but I honestly feel like most people don't respect it and won't ban it.
Yeah, they'll probably not ban only like your Secrets Hunter or something.
They'll probably ban the Hunter or the even Paladin, but not only that, I think that the people who won't ban it won't have any idea how to play against it either, because this is not something people, especially in Legend, are used to playing against or have any experience against.
So can you talk about the deck just a little bit?
Yeah, so the point of the deck is just to use your early game cards like Firefly and Serenite Taskmaster to put on pressure against slower decks, because you go Serenite Taskmaster on one, Hero Power them on two, and then you play something like a Black Cat, which is the odd mage card that draws a card, has spell power, and is a 3-3, or just like one of the 3-4s. And you just pressure them against aggro. You just want a one drop, and then your Hero Power cleans up almost every early game minion.
Yep.
And then you don't really have too much late game, but you do have Janalai, which is the card that says if your Hero Power is dealt 8 damage, summon Ragnaros, and that's 7 mana. So most of the time, you're going to have dealt 8 damage by turn 7. So a lot of the time, it's a 7 mana Ragnaros, which is pretty sweet. And that's usually like a super strong finisher. It feels like every time I draw that card, it's almost like drawing Kel'Seth on turn 2, like the win rate, because Aegis Replay actually has a feature where if you've played enough games with your deck, you get like a win rate chart. And I've played over like 50 games with the deck, so I actually have like a mulligan guide and stuff like that, like all the stats that you get when you look at Aegis Replay for like their decks. I have that for this mage deck for just myself. And the win rate of drawing that card is akin to drawing Kel'Seth in decks that play Kel'Seth.
So I've been playing that deck a little bit this week, and I find that I will win most games, but I will win most games with my opponent rage quitting whenever I play Jalalai or Jaina, and then followed up with Jalalai and get eight health back.
Yeah, because Ragnaros is an elemental.
Yep.
That is actually a huge swing.
It's
that
a huge
a lot
swing
of people don't see coming. Like, I've had many priest games where this is something I'm not going to play on ladder, or I'm not going to play in tournament because I'm going to ban priest. But priest is actually a really bad matchup. But I've had games where they just go, they don't have answer to Ragnaros, and they don't want to psychic scream a Ragnaros and then a 7 mana Ragnaros into my deck. So they just do something like try to kill me or like play Alexstrasza and set up for a lethal. And you just play Jaina and then you just gain 8 life, just a casual 8 life gain. And against even Warlock as well and Quest Warrior, you'll have Jaina down. And generally Jaina is going to outvalue a lot of things that people can do. But if they try to kill you, which is what happens a lot, you'll just see Warlock just start to suck your face down and just deal 3 damage to you every turn, try to chip you down over time, but then you just play the Ragnaros and all of a sudden you have 8 burst heal and you deal 8 damage to them, and it's like, whoa, okay.
And then you have to trade into it too. It's like you heal 8 every time. It's crazy.
Oh yeah, I think I played the Evenlock matchup around, I have the stats, but it was definitely over 20 games today, and a lot of the games came down to just me going Janalai with 10 mana and then Zolaing it while Jaina was down, and then the game's just immediately over because I gain 8 life, deal 8 damage.
Yep.
They have to use all the removal that they have to clear it, and then I just play it again.
Yeah.
My
favorite thing is when I play against a Secret Hunter, and since I'm pretty low rank, people don't play that deck very correctly to begin with. But they'll be sitting there beating me down. I'm like, oh man, I need to draw my Jaina, or I'm never going to survive this game because they're just going to Hero Power me down. And then they go play and they play Rexxar. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you for not damaging me anymore. because that deck has so many answers to their Rexxar that you're just like, all right, now I get to wait even longer now for my Jaina to show up and heal. And then you're just going to concede because you have nothing you can do against me now.
Yeah. A lot of the time, even against Hunter, I just find myself aggroing them down because I'll just hero power down their minions, and then they'll be put in an awkward position where they don't want to play Animal Companion because it just dies on board. You just play a 3-mana minion, and all of a sudden your 1-drop and your 3-drop are dealing 5 damage per turn.
And they put down, like, 4 wolves, and you're like, no, you kill them all every time. You just
kill them with Dragon's Fury or Flame Strike, and honestly, it just so much damage. And if you have Arcane Tyrant to follow up with your AoE on 5 after they Spellstone, it's just so much tempo. It's really difficult for them to deal with that and not just die. Yeah. So I'm a huge fan. I mean, there's a chance that it is actually just stupid and that everybody else is right, but I've played so much with the deck. I've played so many games that I feel like at this point, it's almost like I have the stats for it, and these are games against good players that, I don't know, it just, it feels like I'm not wrong, and that everybody else is.
I think it's a good deck. I like it, but you're also talking to someone who's not as high rank as people telling you it's not.
I just feel like they haven't actually played the deck, and that they're just looking at stats that they see online, even though
bias,
the version that I'm playing is so different than...
Bias could be real.
But, I don't know.
Do you still have Baron Geddon in that deck?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Baron Geddon.
I feel like that card is weak in a way. Like, the handful of times I got into play it, I'm like, oh, thank you for all the health that you gave me, or for helping me clear things. Other times, I just don't, like, it just sits in my hand. Maybe I'm just playing it wrong.
No, it's definitely a card that is very niche. It's really only great against, like, Odd Paladin and in very certain scenarios, like when you have Jaina out and you just want to gain a lot of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a card that you can cut. I don't know.
What'd you cut for...
The list isn't perfect yet, but...
What'd you cut for the Zola?
I cut a Blast Wave. I think that there's...
Yeah. I was wondering about that, too.
I played a lot of Odd Paladin, and that's why I decided to make that decision of cutting the Blast Wave, because Odd Paladin just felt terrible. Like, it just did not feel like a good deck. So I feel like a lot of people who are going to be playing this weekend probably had like a similar thing where they're just like, oh, Odd Paladin makes a lot of sense, but then they just actually played the matchup and then they realized, oh, even Paladin's probably just still better against Hunter. And
yeah, I mean,
don't know, maybe I'll be wrong.
Even in Europe, you had more even than Odd Paladins being played.
Yeah, there was still a lot of Odd Paladins.
Yeah, there's
though,
still a lot. Yep.
Which is scary, but like not too much. Like what, having 2 Blast Waves compared to 1 Blast Wave, the difference is very small.
Yeah.
It's like, it's only going to matter like maybe once in the whole tournament, if at all. So we'll see. I'm just banking on a lot of people playing anti-control and or just a lineup like the Bunny Hopper lineup, which is, I mean, realistically, I don't see people going like crazy full aggro or crazy full control. I just don't see that happening. But NA has a lot of clicks. Like NA, like the Muzzy group, we have like the Muzzy group, which is like Muzzy, Amnesiac, No Stam, Yo, It's Flow. Like there's a lot more clicks in NA than there is in EU. Like a lot more big teams of people.
So you expect lineups to be fairly similar across the field then?
Yeah, so like there's been tournaments or playoffs specifically where like the Muzzy group will play a specific lineup and they'll just all be on it and they'll all either do insanely well or they're all just fail together. So it's you can't know, right? Like you can't know. So I'm just going to hope that my decision was right and I don't get destroyed by them just playing full control. But I just highly doubt it. I highly doubt that's going to happen, especially with Warrior being the worst class for your playoffs. It had the lowest win rate.
So for all of our listeners out there, you know, listening to the show right now, make sure that this is being streamed, right, Ray? Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be on the Hearthstone.
Yeah. Make sure you come out this weekend. You know, pull up that Twitch, load it up, watch Ray. See if you can cheer him on.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that my idea works. This is the first time I've ever played something that's like, I will definitely be the only person playing it. And that's scary, but also really exciting at the same time.
I mean, it's if it works out well, it's going to be a big thing, because look at what Viper did. He brought something that no one else was playing.
Yeah.
He did well.
Yeah, if you do well, hyped on it. If you do well, you're going to be an innovator, Ray.
Yep.
It's true.
Everybody's going to be talking about Ray C, Odd Mage.
The Bitcoin Mage.
Ray C, Bitcoin Mage.
If I don't do well, then I'm...
Make sure that if you do well with it, make sure that if you get interviewed or anything, that you coin it as the Bitcoin Mage.
I will do that. I will do that. And only well-met people will understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know.
It's similar to Peanut Shaman, right?
Yeah, that's exactly.
You know. Viper's podcast probably knows what he's talking about.
If he has a podcast, you're not wrong. But yeah, if you're listening to this and you want a fun ladder deck, I think that the deck is actually really, really powerful on ladder. And
I've had a lot of success with it playing it the last few days.
I don't think it's too terribly difficult to play. I mean, there are a lot of intricacies in like slower matchups or matchups that are more dynamic, like even Warlock. But I feel like the majority of games you're going to play in ladder are going to be against Hunter or Paladin. So it's going to be really straightforward.
I think I beat every Hunter and Paladin that I played except for like once. And that was a game that I made a mistake on.
Yeah. So definitely try it out. And hopefully you get to see me this weekend on stream. That's another reason to bring wacky lineups or wacky decks too. Is you're more likely to get streamed because people will be interested in that. Like when you see something that's like really weird, people are just like, whoa, I want to see this. And you're more likely to get coverage. So
yeah, awesome. So you're going to HCT this weekend. Danny, you had the big Wild tournament going on this last week. And you're preparing for the Wild Open, the whole ladder thing. How are you doing on the ranking of your ladders right now?
So I haven't played a game since we last spoke on NA. The last time we were on the show, I think I was top 30. I was like a 29. Yeah. I've decayed down to 37.
Oh, so you're still sitting. You're still sitting.
Yeah, I expect to play. I expect the decay is going to really start picking up towards the end of the month once NA playoffs are done and then everyone just gets in. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying not to play until I drop below like 60, because I feel that I'm my own worst enemy, because I'm going to go and just try to jam all the really fun decks, and that's not what's going to get me there.
Right.
I will help you, Danny. I will hold your hand.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to you for mentoring towards the end of the season. Learn how to finish top on the ladder.
Yeah. Ray's got it down to a science.
I'm ranked 2 right now in Wild. I played a lot at the beginning, like the very beginning of the month, and then I was like, wait a second.
No, I have playoffs.
I have playoffs in a couple weeks. I should be playing standard.
Yeah.
And then I just haven't touched Wild since the first couple days of the month. So I plan to get top 100, and I plan to jam Wild a lot after playoffs. But yeah, it's a good thing I started playing standard, because that's how I found the mage deck.
Yeah, hopefully you do pretty well in it.
Speaking of the end of the season, though, do you think that there's, is Watchstone just done? Or
yes,
because like the end, do you think we could call them back for one more time? Do it for this?
I don't know. I can ask.
I'll talk with Dr. J about that.
I will ask them. Yeah, we'll find out. Probably,
maybe. If not, I was going to probably try to get into a spot and then maybe host it myself if no one else was doing something, because that's going to be really cool to watch. And I mean, I have every Wild player on the friends list, so, or not every Wild player, but a good amount of them.
Yeah, so that's something that I can ask, because that was Geico that did it.
Oh, okay.
It was a...
Sponsor thing.
No, it was just something that a couple of people had an idea, and they just did it. They were like, I don't know, Geico does that sometimes. They just do random tournaments. They did it a lot more back when Onog was running tournaments, but less so now. But I will ask them. That'll be a good idea. And if not, then it'd be really cool to see you do it on your own.
Yeah, I mean, we could probably even do something through One Trick, because we'll have at least two or three players who are just in solid spots at the end of the month. Yeah, and then we'll grab in some. Maybe we can grab in some like pros from the standard side who aren't competing, or other people as well to come and cast. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, we could definitely, we could get it done. Sounds exciting.
Cool. That would be cool. As for me, this last week, so I launched a new website. If anybody's interested in it, head over to YetiArcade.com. It's basically, so I have BlizzPro, which is basically all of Blizzard's games and stuff about that. Yeti Arcade is basically about everything else. Video games, movies, TV shows, comic books. We'll have lots of stuff over there. It's basically just a place where we can go write about things that we've been wanting to write about, but didn't have an outlet for it. So I'm putting together an article right now. I'm hoping to have it launched maybe tomorrow. It's the top three Marvel games that Second Dinner is creating. And so it's a joke post, but number one on the list is Spider-Man Off Duty, and all he's doing is playing Hearthstone. That's the game concept.
Interesting.
There's a little more to it than that. You'll have to read it, but that's the idea behind it. Is if Spider-Man can hit legend during his off time in between fighting crime and supervillains and avoiding having to pick up the phone when Mary Jane calls him so that he doesn't have to interrupt his Hearthstone time.
I can see that. Oh, Mr. Stark, I was just about to play my rank 3 game. My opponent had Megathune. I had the game.
I see. Mary Jane wasn't a euphemism. Okay.
No. His actual girlfriend, wife, whatever, depending on which Spider-Verse you are. Who are watching or reading. But yeah, so that's a thing. So head over to YetiArcade.com. We're also on Twitter at Yeti_arcade. So I think we're done.
Yeah, this was pretty good podcast. I'm just honestly on the brink of just like having a panic attack about whether or not I made the right choice. So I guess we'll find out. Because I literally submitted right before we started the podcast. Like right before you guys called me.
Oh
wow, set in stone.
Well, they're due tonight, so I'm gonna go to bed after this, so it's just like I should just do it now.
Yeah,
and honestly,
get it over with. Yeah,
overthinking it, like if I end up changing the lineup, like say I just bring something standard, I already know I'm gonna be disappointed in myself for not pulling the trigger, especially if I do badly. Like if I bring like a copy paste lineup from EU and I do badly, I'm gonna be like, man, I should have just done it. So
no.
And then if I do it and I do bad, then so be it. But at least I won't have that regret.
Yeah. I hope it does well. Hope you do well. And I hope you get that top four finish.
So I mean, awesome. I do too.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for me as well.
I think we're all rooting for you, Ray.
Yeah, definitely.
So, let's see. Emails, we didn't have any emails this week. However, if you'd like to email us, just our email address is wellmet@blizzpro.com. You can also send us tweets at wellmetpodcast. If you'd like us to answer anything on the show, just let us know. Hey, here's a question for you, answer it on the show, and we will, because we like answering that kind of stuff. Over on Patreon, if you'd like to help support us, there's a couple different ways. One is through Patreon, another is through our iTunes reviews. If you want to give monetarily, head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. And there's a few different tiers there, one of which will get this show a little bit early, so you'll be able to hear Ray talking about his lineup. We briefly talked about it before the show. You'll get that version. You'll also get my miss-ups, where the show stopped recording halfway through, so that was fun. You'll get all of that raw and uncut for like I think $1 or $2 a month. Also, like there's tiers higher than that. I believe the $25 tier, you can get coaching from Ray, and that would be pretty cool. If you don't have if you don't have the means to support us through Patreon, there is a way to help support us, and that's through iTunes. You can just leave a review, and if you want to leave a 5-star review over on iTunes, just head over to iTunes, type in Hearthstone by searching podcast, you'll find us there. And if you leave a 5-star review, we'll give you a shout out on the show next week. Another way that you can, wow, I just, my voice just cracked there. Another way that you could support us is just following us on Twitter and interacting with us on Twitter or in other places on, you know, the internet. Speaking of which, you guys have any shout outs or how can people find you if they want to interact with you, Ray?
If you want to interact with me, if you want to find me, you can go to twitter.com/PG_ArrayC. That's where I post all of my deck lists and pretty much anything that I'm thinking about the game. I really try to use it a lot just because I enjoy it. I enjoy talking to everybody who decides to talk to me. And if I stream, which I did actually stream this week, or last week, technically, I streamed my run to legend. That huge 13 or 14-1 session was all caught on stream. It's actually really cool. I had a lot of fun. Twitch.tv/RAC591. Shout outs to anybody who helped me practice. ETC, MJM, Hot Meowth, WTY Bill. I don't know who else. That was actually crazy. WTY Bill is the biggest streamer in the world because he streams on Douyu, which is a Chinese thing. And apparently, he was streaming to like 200,000 people when we were practicing today.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Which was weird.
That's a lot of people.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just got random Chinese people messaging me like, oh, you're on his stream. I was like, what are you talking about? And then they showed it to me and I was like, yo, that's wild.
That's pretty sweet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Danny, how about you? Do you have any shout outs and how can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to all the guys that made this weekend possible. The Team One Trick tournament, all the players, all the casters, the rest of Team One Trick. It was a really successful event, went really smooth. Production went well. Everything really went well. I had a good time watching, learned a lot about the meta. It's going to be really interesting coming up in Wild for the next couple weeks. As for me, you can find me on Twitch or at DannyDonuts45. Twitter, DannyDonuts_HS. And yeah, that's about it.
Nice. As for me, I want to give a shout out to all of the people who tweeted at me saying, hey, JR, the Chiefs did something. I'm not that big of a Chiefs fan, even though I'm here in Kansas City, but I do enjoy seeing the local sports teams win. I'm a big Patrick Mahomes fan, so I've got that going for me. So that was cool that people reached out and, you know, said that. Don't get that up very often. You can find me over on Twitter at Aldorian. You can also find my articles and stuff like that over at Blizz Pro. And now that Yeti Arcade, which I was talking about. I think that does it. So thanks for joining us for episode 181 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can tweet us at Well Met Podcast or email us at wellmet@blizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Butno for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next week. Okay, we're done.
Whoa.
Yeah, whoa, that was like a double feed.
Okay.
No, I did that on purpose.
Did you turn on your auto-tune?
My auto-tune.
Oh my god.
Oh jeez, it's T-Pain.
Well, that was auto-tune with robot.
All right. I'm gonna head to bed now before I question everything.